Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Come on, baby, do that rumba. You know you want a podcast.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
Well, Ken, I'm going to go back to the homeland of your ancestors.
Switzerland?
No, the other one.
Canada?
No, the other one.
England?
No, the other one.
Ireland?
We're going to Amish country.
Oh, okay.
Your Pennsylvania Dutch ancestors are just shaking their heads.
The Pennsylvania Dutch ancestors came from Switzerland. I said them first.
Oh, God. I thought they were supposed to come from Germany.
No, they speak German.
What the fuck is going on in Switzerland? This is a fucking upset. I did not expect this to happen. Throwing all my cue cards on the ground. Man, if the Pennsylvania Dutch aren't German, then I don't know what they are. Since I see them making a comeback in the apartment therapy rags and so on, I wanted to talk about pie safes. And then the real reason, which is that I have one in my house and I didn't know anything about it. And I was like, huh, okay.
I feel like we start more episodes that way. Is you find an object in your house and you're like, wait a minute, how did this get here? Who am I?
I just shake it going, what the fuck are you?
And then it says you cannot kill me in a way that matters.
Yeah, well, it's starting to feel that way. But yeah, you guys all get to discover things in my home with me. So do you know what a pie safe is?
Yeah.
All right, what is it? You do this now. Your turn.
As I understand it, a pie safe is a container to keep your pie safe in, much like a cake safe is for cakes.
There's a different cake safe?
Yeah, they're taller, because cakes are taller than pies.
What, in the nine divines?
Did the Portuguese not have cake safes?
I don't think anyone did.
Oh, well, yeah, they keep your cake safe. If you need to transport the cake from place to place, or even if the cake just needs to hang out on your counter for a minute and not get, like, elbowed, you put the cake safe over it.
Oh, okay, that's
safe.
All right. Well, that's different from this kind of safe.
Oh, it's not like a cloche?
It is not like a cloche. Pie safe is actually a piece of furniture.
Oh.
They are also called pie chests, pie cupboards, kitchen safes, or even the meat safe.
Well, if you told me it was a cupboard, I feel like I would have figured out it wasn't, you know, a plate. Fairly quickly.
You seem so confident that I was like, damn, he do know what this is, though.
I was so confident.
Yeah, so I was like, he gotta know.
I knew something for once.
He must know. But then it turns out you were wrong.
And that, children, is the very valuable lesson we've learned about confidence today.
Now, hoping at some point someone's going to email me correcting me, which, like, that's not like a day. I love it. I love when people, like, give me the real lowdown if I get something wrong. I couldn't find why pie was the food that took the title when they were naming this piece of furniture.
So it's not necessarily a pie-specific piece of furniture?
No, it was more to protect generally perishable food stuff. And pies were certainly a part of that, pies and breads and cakes, but also other things that might be eaten by critters, like flour and sugar.
So this is a critter keeper outer piece of furniture.
Okay, I do see why they didn't call it that, because that makes it sound very unappetizing. The no rat box, unfortunately, just doesn't have the same, like, warm, delicious thoughts as a pie safe.
I don't know, I'm warming up to the no rat box, personally.
The no rat, it's functionally the no rat box.
Petition to rename the pie safe.
And the no is silent. It's actually just called the rat box.
Again, still would buy.
This is a refrigerator in a time even before ice boxes.
So this is a pre-19th century thing.
Oh yeah. This is a 1700s, which is the 16th century?
18th, but close.
Whoa, I went backwards instead of forwards like I was supposed to.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Everything says they date back to 1700s America and were brought over by the Pennsylvania Dutch. But if they were brought over, then ostensibly they should date earlier than that.
And also not originate in America if they were brought to America. From somewhere else. That's not what originate means.
A lot of what I was reading just kind of glossed over, like, how these things came to be.
We don't talk about where the pie safe came from. We simply accept the forest's gifts and move on.
It's just, we know that that the German-speaking immigrants that landed in Pennsylvania had something to do with it. Someone did suggest that they created it to solve a food storage problem, which I find also a little odd, because storing food is something you have to do in Switzerland and Germany.
Also, I'm pretty sure they do have rats there.
They do, in fact, have rats and other vermin.
Curiouser and curiouser. Pie Safe, if that's even your real name.
Yeah, Pie Safe. What's really in there? Is it pies?
Because apparently it can just be any old thing.
Well, inside. The safe itself has actually got a pretty standardized design.
Tell me all about it.
Well, they have simple, large-spaced shelves within, a sturdy bureau-type cupboard shape with hinged double doors.
So a cupboard.
So a cupboard.
So a cupboard.
Well,
so the thing about this cupboard is you can tell it apart from other cupboards from how cupboard shaped it is.
There are generally two sizes. They are the size of a bureau. That is the only measurement I could get.
Great. Amazing.
Because bureaus come in a lot of different sizes.
Because when I think about the Swiss, I think in exact measurements.
Well, so here's the thing. These are largely handmade for a family, so there really isn't a standardized size. This is just kind of, generally you find them in these two sizes.
That has never stopped the Swiss from being precise. Making things by hand never once stopped them. Many have wished it would, none have succeeded.
So you have the traditional three-shelf safe, which is larger, comes with, you'd never guess, at least three shelves, and the standard double doors with perforations.
To let the rats in?
No, to let the air in and not the rats.
Do the rats know that?
They can't get in.
I'm pressing X to doubt.
While rats can happily chew through metal, they do not like to.
So, we're just hoping the rats are feeling particularly disinclined today?
Pretty much. When pressed, a rat can chew through goddamn just about anything.
Including human flesh.
Including human flesh. But the fuckers really hate it. That's why steel wool is so effective for mice. If a mouse wanted to, it probably could get through it in a couple of days. But it sucks on their mouth, and they just don't want to.
Oh god, it really is just like chewing tinfoil, huh?
Yeah, not that I've ever done that with metal fillings.
Have you ever chewed tinfoil? Write in antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
Tinfoil Freaks Podcast. We love to eat it. The other size was the half-size safe, which had two shelves and was roughly the size of, and yes, they all said this, a chest of drawers. Now, to the standard American, a bureau and a chest of drawers is interchangeable, but traditionally one was smaller.
I love when it's so, so clear that everyone just copied and pasted from blog to blog without once checking what they were even doing with their life and choices.
I forgive them for this, though, because, again, there's no standard size. It's just kind of like, how big did you want it in your house? And generally, they come in much big and less big.
We got two kinds of sizes.
Now, that is one of the really fun things about pie safes when you find the genuine articles, is that before they become mass-produced, which won't happen until the 19th century, they're just very unique little pieces of artwork. Now, the ventilation is what is absolutely key to a pie safe. The ventilation can come in a variety of ways, such as mesh screening, drilling directly into the wood, but, of course, the most popular, and the kind you'll see the most, are punched tin plates.
Now, do these have some fun, geometric, nature-inspired designs in perfect symmetry, as the Pennsylvania Dutch are wont to do?
They absolutely do.
I'm so glad we're being on brand.
They did other fun stuff like flowers, stars, ducks, eagles, and sometimes the tin was even painted after it was punched.
You got any distelfinks in there?
I know what now?
Distelfink?
I know what now?
A distelfink.
I don't know what that is. I'm Portuguese.
Let me Google up a distelfink for you real quick.
You've said distelfink so many times with so much confidence that someone out there's going to be like, distelfink.
There's going to be like three Mennonites tuning in who are going to know exactly what I'm talking about.
I thought Mennonites can't use technology. How are they listening to this podcast?
No, the Mennonites are the ones that are allowed to have electricity. That's why they broke off from the Amish.
They're allowed to have electricity, but I thought they just sort of didn't like computers.
Now you can use a computer if you're Mennonite, I'm pretty sure. If not, certain relatives of mine are in a lot of trouble.
Is Ken correct about Mennonites? Write in.
AntiquesFreaksPodcast@gmail.com.
Because if he's not, you can't. So it's really only one way we get an answer on this.
Oh my god. That took a while for me to catch on to that one, huh?
I think you were just excited about talking to Mennonites.
Honestly, God, I was just real pumped for the distelfink.
Okay, all right, yeah, do you have the distelfink for us?
I have sent you the distel link to some distelfinks.
Okay, so it's this bird on a heart motif I've seen in specifically your parents' house before?
Yeah, it's a stylized version of the European goldfinch.
Okay, all right, I love that. Oh, goldfinch.
Yeah.
Ah. Yes, I've seen those on the pie safes.
Excellent. I'm so glad we had a 30-minute diversion to verify this.
It was five, but... the punched tin is both the secret to why everyone thinks these are just so darn charming, and what made them effective forms of food storage. See, the ventilation, especially in the form of punched tin, was enough so that air could get in and keep the inside of the cabinet cool, especially if you placed it pretty far away from where you're cooking the food, sometimes even in, like, a porch.
You said that with such disbelief that anyone would put food on a porch. Is that not the done thing in New Bedford?
No, no, bro. I couldn't put out a fake candy cane without some motherfucker trying to eat that shit.
Oh.
Can't have shit in New Bedford.
Yeah, you put stuff on the porch all the time. Put your cider out there.
No, no. You can do that where you're from because people would have to take like a 4-mile hike to get to your cider or your pie or whatever. But this place is just crawling with hungry little fingers.
I mean, you lock up the porch.
Oh, that is such a luxury. See, we have a wood door that has had, like, the lock broken off of one of 3 times, and then a steel door on the inside, so they don't try that shit a second time. We gave up trying to lock that shit a long time ago.
Damn.
But yeah, you basically just place this wherever in the house it was safest from animals and coolest. And this cool, dry environment helped keep food fresher longer, helped prevent the growth of mold, and the extremely tiny little pinpricks that made up the tin plates generally barred the entry of, I'd say, most vermin and insects. Not weevils, though.
No?
I don't think anything can stop weevils.
Nothing can stop our friend the weevil.
Our friend the weevil gets into many places. Of course, no matter how charming these were, they would eventually be consumed and subsumed by the icebox in the 1880s.
Boo.
Well, the icebox helped a lot more people live to see old age.
Oh, boo-hoo. I want my food kept at a safe temperature that doesn't breed bacteria and mold. I don't want to die from it. Meh, meh, meh.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's what you sound like.
Well then, I suppose I've been told. As the icebox became more and more commonplace in the home, eventually the love of the pie safe would fade away, only to be reignited centuries later when people said, "Man, I like rundown shit in my home. I think it looked cute."
Some might call it farmhouse chic, but not D.
Farmhouse chic, I respect it and I love you, but let's not mince words. I know what it be that you like about it, and it's the fact that it looks run down. These are sometimes misidentified as jelly cabinets.
How droll. Can you imagine mistaking a pie safe for a jelly cabinet, of all things?
And then I said to Ed Susan, that old bitch, she couldn't tell a pie safe from a jelly cabinet.
And then wouldn't you believe it if they didn't let you back on Antiques Roadshow?
They didn't let me on Antiques Roadshow because I said it to Susan on TV. Now, there is one major difference other than the fact that a jelly cabinet's generally smaller and much less wide. And that is that a jelly cabinet, while it does have double doors, it has much closer shelves to discourage the jam jars from shaking around in there, and 2 drawers on top. And no ventilation, not necessary, since jelly, jam, and similar conserves are made under pressure and not necessary to air out.
Ideally, you want none of the air getting out. That's what an airtight seal means.
That is the point of canning it. One really cool thing I learned about the tin punching is that while most of the time it's just a hole being punched by a guy one at a time, you would sometimes get artists who punched the nails through boards into patterns and then punched it all at once, the whole design.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's so fucking cool.
Would you get a one punch man to do it?
Ayo! Pew, 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 pew! Can I get W's in the chat for one punch man reference? What if we did live stream Antiques Freaks episodes?
Absolutely not.
I know, that would suck so bad. We should play video games on stream again, though.
Okay. Would you like to see us play video games on stream again? Write in antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
And if you have antiques that have anything to do with what did I just say?
If you have antiques that have anything to do with antiques, write in antiquesfreakspodcast.
Do you have any antiques that are antique? That's fucking crazy emails.
We gotta know more.
Video games that are about antiques would be lovely.
Okay, that makes a little more sense, yeah.
Or are related to history and what some... We're trying to keep a theme here, you know? Now, one of the things about Pisapes that I find quite vexing, and perhaps you do as well, is that there are probably more reproductions than there are originals at this point.
That's the nature of mass manufacture.
Well, it sure is. And also because them... them dang Amish, they can't get a break. There are hundreds of mass-producing companies using their name out there.
Sure are.
Which is stunning to me, because if there's one thing I know about the Amish, it's that I probably can't buy their shit online. That shit makes me so angry.
To be fair, there are a lot of Amish communities that use the Mennonites as a go-between to sell Amish goods to the English.
Yes, and there's plenty of sites out there, but maybe not as many. When I see quantity 152, I start to doubt. If you have any tips on resources for getting authentic, handmade Amish furniture, please let us know. I won't be using it because I can't afford fine crafted furniture like that, but I'd like to share.
I feel like the answer is to just kind of show up in Amish country, but you know.
You just said some of them use the Mennonites as go-betweens.
Yeah, but you want to go straight to the source.
I mean, I do believe that that is probably the best course of action is to get your ass out into Pennsylvania Dutch country and buy it at a store staffed by the Amish.
Again, probably not running a storefront. That's probably being done by the Mennonites, who are often mistaken for Amish because they do dress similarly, but...
Apologies, that is correct. As we learned in the only good Paranormal Activity movie. I'm not going to say anything further because I don't want to spoil anything. Please check it out if you like horror movies and respect the Amish.
I mean, they won't know whether you do or don't. They're not online.
Well, yeah, but like your soul is your own and you should keep it pure. For me, it's a little bit like the wheelchair is haunted. Like, no, it's not. That was a mobility device. And it's like, well, all the Amish are haunted. And it's like, no, they're not. They're just don't like emoting around strangers.
I mean, they're a little haunted.
They're like, and only insofar as any, like, religious fundamentalist is a little haunted.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get tricked.
By the Amish?
By those mysterious Amish that just love to operate sawmills and sell online.
I think they're allowed to use sawmills. I'll check, but I think. I think it's just the steam engine they're real pissed about.
This fucking spinning Jenny, you ruined everything. So, the number one thing that most people who like furniture will tell you is to take a look at the hardware. What was used to make this piece? That can tell you a lot.
And then take a look at the software. That was a test. If it has software, it's not Amish made because they can't use computers.
If you've got smart PieSafe, that's a trick. It wasn't made in the 1700s. Oh, fuck, though. Apple PieSafe? What the fuck?
Oh my god!
Oh, it's right there. The joke is right there. So the number one thing to look for is, like, the nails. First of all, is it a nail? That's gonna be your first major thing.
If it's a screw, bad news.
If it's a screw, bad sign. Screws, bolts, nuts, these all suggest late 1900s, if not much newer. Before 1830, you want wooden square head nails. These will be easy to spot because they will be square. You can also see machine-cut headless pins. These are basically just nails without the head. These are generally seen from the 1890s to the early 20th century. They're very noticeable in the fact that when you look at them, you're like, well, that's not a nail. And that's the best way I can describe it.
A nail that is not a nail.
That's my favorite opening to Daggerfall.
We got any dovetail joints on these things?
You know we got dovetail joints on these things.
Hell yeah.
Dovetail joints being kind of a flex, they can suggest it was made before 1830. They can also appear any time.
As New Yankee Workshop proved.
Yeah, it's more a sign that it's handmade. But generally, yeah, like dovetailing and other like wood joinery of that fashion would suggest that it's older, depending on other clues. Other clues like, is the inside finished in any way, shape, or form? It shouldn't be, because why the fuck would it be? That's a waste of your materials.
Who's going to be enjoying that? The pies? No. The rats? Also no.
This can be a little tricky because as time has marched forward, before people got too precious about it, you see very genuine old pieces that got painted in, say, the 1930s. Which, again, as always, these are just clues and hints you can try to use to put together a better picture.
A picture of perhaps someone who inherited a genuinely old pie safe and then was like, but this doesn't go with my 1930s kitchen decor. I need a new paint job on the interior. We've just invented speed.
Hell yeah.
Just kidding. We've had cocaine wine for at least a century by the 1930s.
Ayo. Even more insidious is you have contemporary handmade examples. They are very old-fashioned handmade, although do tend to be round nails, not a lot of people committing to the bit and buying old stock square nails. These crop up from primarily workshops in Mexico and India, and they use reclaimed, genuinely antique wood. And the craftsmanship is very, very high end. These are really nice, and they look pretty old, and that's tricky. Because again, all of the constituencies are, they're handmade, they're old, they're kind of done roughly in the same style. So you're going to have to get like way more Sherlock Holmes about it and start looking for suspiciously perfect aged paint. You know what I'm talking about. The chemical crackles, the scuffs that look like they were done specifically with a round sander on places that wouldn't have had wear normally, like the side of it.
Just kind of every part that's easy to scuff with a sander.
Yeah, it's all really like flat and easy to get the sander on. And one of the specific examples that I thought was interesting to kind of represent what I'm talking about here is anything that's not sensible for the pie safe. These are practical pieces first and foremost. One of the examples that I saw was a really wide, like very big gap wired grate. And it was like pretty reclaimed iron grating, but it was definitely big enough to let a rat in. And they just wouldn't have made it that way. The whole point was to not let things eat your food. So that's a good example. And then you can start looking at other examples, you know, does the wood not really like match because it's being made with reclaimed wood? So sometimes you get different kinds of wood put together. Is the scuffed paint suspiciously perfect? Think practically. The more you think practically, the better your odds are going to be. And of course, there's the go-to, just go to a trusted antiques dealer. Go to someone you know is not gonna fuck you over.
Befriend your local antiques dealer. Tell them about this podcast.
Oh, another thing to look out for. If the rust comes off of the tin plates with your finger, that's not rust, it's painted cinnamon.
No!
It's a cheap and easy way to create rust. I've used it for Gundams in the past. Ask me how I know this trick.
Wow. Okay, sorry. I need a minute for that. But also, buck wild that cinnamon is so freely and widely available to us in this modern day of the 21st century that we're using it to paint shit.
Yeah. If you need to fake weather something for theater, my go-to is glue, cinnamon, and then like a coat of paint to make the red deeper.
If you ever need to piss off the ghost of a medieval peasant,
yeah,
try using cinnamon as paint.
Just flinging these luxuries back and forth. I've got a bowl of mung beans that I'm gonna rub on my face. Take that.
Damn.
I live in luxury the likes of which my ancestors couldn't conceive.
And yet, don't own a single pig. Interesting.
And yet...
how far we've fallen.
And yet, that must be the most embarrassing thing to them. Never killed my own pig. Look at this weakling. My favorite, my absolute favorite pie save. There is a very early model that they're called hanging or mounted pie safes. And they are, as it suggests, meant to be hung from a wall. But most of these, the part that they hung from would actually be these wooden protuberances, much like legs, so that you could just flip the bitch upside down if you wanted it on the floor again.
Oh my god. Ideally, you take the pies out first.
Well, you probably should. I just think that's, like, so cute.
It's very cute.
As for my pie safe, why, I have a very modern pie safe.
A fridge.
Yes. You know of such things, stranger. No, these are 1911, generally. They're, like, zinc. They're kind of more like a really tall bread box. They tend to have just one shelf so that you can put, like, a cake on the bottom and a pie on top. They're very useful in an age where you might have other storage options available to you where you don't want it to get cold. You know, a cold cake kind of sucks. So you're going to keep it in here until you eat it, just to keep the ants off of it.
Wow. I didn't realize you're in an anti-cold cake household.
But you like a cold cake?
I don't mind it.
I mean, in summer, yeah. In summer, cold cake hits right, but like sometimes you don't want the cake to be cold.
Sounds fake, but okay.
If it's decorated, it does things to the frosting. It sweats. No thanks. I'll use my pie safe, thank you. Oh, like I'm gonna put my fresh, beautiful, handmade crust pie in the fridge. In the fridge where the moisture is gonna accrue in my perfectly crispy crust.
No, gonna put it on the porch.
I'm gonna put it in my pie safe. Where the hoodlums of the neighborhood can't get at it.
Where the cartoon characters can't follow the scent trail down the street and eat it right off the windowsill.
Can't float to my windowsill and eat it like a sitcom dad. As for the price of pie safes, bad news. These are in super high demand.
Oh, cottagecore.
Oh, cottagecore, you done did it again.
Oh, farmhouse chic. Oh, pioneer woman.
You bitch. Find me the pioneer woman. I'm gonna fight her. Oh, wait, that actually is like a lady. I forgot it wasn't like a brand.
Yeah, no, that's a human woman, D.
No, there is a woman that's called the pioneer woman. Damn it. Shit. You're probably like hella strong. Ignore this.
I mean, you can still fight her. I won't stop you. I probably should for like moral reasons, but I'm disinclined.
I will stop me. I don't want to fight you. You're probably taller than me.
I gotta be honest, D, there's not many people who don't have the reach advantage over you.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
I'm saying you pack 10 pounds of fury into a 5-pound bag, but it is still a 5-pound bag.
Whoa. That just means that that God gave packed more punch into the bowl.
Damn. That's what I say every time I get a party ready.
Yeah.
I say I better pack this bowl full of punch.
Yeah.
And everyone says, don't you mean pour it? And I say, no, get out of my house.
I say, pouring it's for losers. Get out of my house. I will fight you.
I'll do to you what I did to the pioneer woman, which is fail to be noticed.
So which is get ignored, because she's very successful. I love the idea of running into her. I'm going to memorize her face, so if I ever run into her real life, I can be like, well, if it isn't the pioneer woman.
She's kind of just a generic white lady. I don't know that memorizing her face is going to take you very far.
And I'm going to be in a cougar suit, because I'm going to give her that real pioneer experience.
I mean, you'll blend right into the Montana landscape. I think she's in Montana, possibly Wyoming, thereabouts. Somewhere where it's convenient for her husband to have a ranch that's almost fully automated.
Ken, I really can't tell you Wyoming, you know?
Wow. You know, everyone asks Wyoming, but no one ever asks Howoming, you know?
Shit, we are on fire.
That's not even my fucking joke. That's about as trademarkable as Idaho, Alaska.
Oh, boy. But yeah, if you want a genuine pie safe, you better come with the pockets stacked. You can expect to pay anywhere from $300,000 to $250,000, depending on quality, age, and design.
Sorry, did you say 250 thousands of human dollars?
Yeah.
That's several dollars of today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Those prices are generally reserved for really, like...
Lunatics?
Lunatics. And really old heritage examples of pie safes. Perhaps even the ones that were mysteriously brought here from Germany.
And yet somehow originated here.
And also originated here because the second your ass landed here, you stopped being from Germany, America.
Yeah, you started being from Holland because everyone kept calling you Dutch for some reason.
Listen, the second you immigrate to America, you're an American, except for all of your basic rights and the way you get treated, all right?
Aside from these minor details.
This could be kind of tricky because if you buy them new, they're still going to be like several hundred dollars. So it isn't even like a, oh, well, it's only $300, it must be fake. I would just generally keep in mind that the genuine articles are pricey. What isn't, though, if you want to live my style, the little tabletop 1900s examples will generally run you maybe $50 to $100.
That's much more doable than 250,000 human dollars.
And their little tabletop size, 250,000 is not the average. It's just the extreme end it can get to.
That's a house!
It's good heritage folk furniture, you know? We gotta give the museum something to fight over.
If I spend $250,000 on the pie safe, I won't be able to afford the house to put it in!
If you're spending $250 on a pie safe, money isn't a concern for you anymore. I bet the pioneer woman has one.
Almost assuredly.
But yeah, don't despair. You can get them in the general hundreds range, a lot of the, 20th century, late 19th century examples. And, don't actually store meat in them anymore. That's not good.
No?
And, pie is really only for a limited amount of time. Our life expectancies are much better now for several reasons, but one of them is refrigeration.
Listen, if God decides it's time for the bacteria to take me, then it's time for the bacteria to take me.
God guided the hands of the botulism.
Exactly. God said these parasites need a home, and that home is your human body.
This is such a sidebar. I had such a panic attack on the internet because a lady was like swirling her hands in a bowl and said, "This is homemade Botox."
No.
And it was like a gross, sticky bowl.
No.
Like it looked yucky. And I was freaking out. I was like, no, they don't. They don't inject themselves. It turns out she was being facetious. She just meant that the effect would be like Botox when you spread it on your skin.
Thank God. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was soaked flaxseed.
I thought she was just like, wait a minute, this is such a scam. I can make my own botulism at home.
Yeah, no, it turns out, yeah, it was, I think she should choose a different way to extol its benefits because I was so worried about her. But it turns out, yeah, it's just flaxseed's really good for your skin.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if stored improperly, she can make her own botulism at home, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't know what you're gonna... That's the worst box of chocolates you could crack open, because you really don't know what you're gonna get. So, that is the sidebar-filled history of the Biosafe.
Hot diggity damn.
Yeah, they're quaint and they're cozy, and go buy one for $250,000.
I won't.
Okay.
You can't make me.
I could, but okay.
How? Okay, what is your plan to compel me to spend $250,000?
Gun.
Yeah?
Gun.
On God?
Yeah.
The gun is going to manifest that money in my bank account?
Yes.
That's a powerful gun.
Yes, gun. Sources for today include gun.
You sound more and more like the Pioneer Woman every minute.
Sources for today include JacquelineStallone.com, Antique Pie Safe, RusticDecorating.com. What is a pie safe or pie chest? CollectorsJournal.com. Collectors love folk art design of pie safes. AmishOutletStore.com. Blog pie safes yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
That is all of the times it is possible to own a pie safe.
Yeah, at any time. Turns out.
If you would like to suggest an episode topic or just say hello, you can email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends. You can tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com. And we do still technically have an Instagram at instagram.com/antiquesfreaks.
If you liked me threatening the Pioneer Woman, feel free to scroll on down to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave a 5-star review. I want you to really give it to her next time. Come up with some nasty names, you might say, in your review.
And if you need more Antiques Freaks in your week, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks, where every week we read and review a chapter of the Victorian Petty and Dreadful Varney the Vampire, the Feast of Blood. Special thanks to our patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.